It's truly an honor to be here, a place that we've called home for 10 and a half years. This is the church where I've literally learned to be a pastor, and I continue to be thankful to God for the opportunity to be part of this community and to just have the privilege to have been here. And I'm still on the CTBC email list, and so I kind of I'm a voyeur from afar, and I'm so thankful for just the different things that I see just by those newsletters, and just so thankful and always eager to click on it. I don't put in the spam box or anything like that. But this is the last time I saw many of you, and I know there's a lot of new faces, and that's a great encouragement to me as well. But I left my family and I left here about a year and a half ago, and there were two things that were especially difficult about leaving, two fears that I had. First, I didn't, as you, some of you know, in moving to Boston, we didn't really know what was going to happen. And so I just want a little give you a little update if you haven't heard. After 6 months of just a lot of rest that was definitely needed, we started at Bethany Presbyterian Church last March. Which is about two blocks away from where we live, and Bethany happens to be the church that Monique was baptized at, and it's a church that the both of us met for the first time, and so that church holds a lot of significance for us in those early years when I was in seminary, and so we're just so thankful that despite not really knowing how things would happen, that the Lord opened the door for us to be back at a church that we're familiar with and a church that we feel called to. So we're really so thankful for that. And it's a small church. It's a church that has gone through some really difficult times, and yet we're thankful to be there. In many ways, it feels like starting over again in many ways. But also, I'm reminded of my time here as well. And it encourages me that there's nothing like having a handful of people and a handful of faith and believing that God builds his church. And I learned that here. And I take that with me to Boston. And that's kind of something that I always remind myself of. The other fear was, what would happen to CTPC? And there were a lot of unknowns as well. And there's still a lot of unknowns. But as I look at all of you today, and as I hear different things from people we've been keeping in touch with, I'm so encouraged by just your steadfastness and your perseverance and your faith. So glad that Pastor Young and Grace and their family are here with you. Just so amazed by God's faithfulness to his people. And so those two fears of stepping out in faith where God was just so gracious in continuing to show that he is in control and that he is faithful to his people. But before we begin, if you would just join me in a word of prayer and we'll dive into God's word. Thank you, Lord, for just this time to be together as a community. Thank you so much for this church. We thank you just for just your grace that is so evident here and that your spirit that is vibrant. And we just ask, Lord, that you would be faithful once more to speak to us this morning as you have for week after week. And we pray that you would open our eyes to who you are and what you've done. And Lord, as we consider just what you're all about, that we would also desire to align our lives around you and to align our lives around your will for us, for it is good. And so we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. For this morning, since the year is about to end, I thought it would be good to ask you a few questions to just kind of start things off. So if you could just kind of participate with me, if 2013 was a very busy year for you, could you please raise your hand? Okay, almost all of you. Okay. Now, as you think ahead towards 2014, how many of you anticipate that you'll be just as busy, if not more? Again, show of hands. Okay. So it seems no matter what life stage you're in, whether it be in what elementary school, middle school, high school, college, adulthood, whatever, we have this common thing, right? There's a common denominator between all everybody, and that's hard to find. And the fact that we are really busy people, and there's so many different things going on, it's hard to keep track of things. It's hard to just keep up with the pace in which you're living. And so it's really difficult to just balance all these different things and different responsibilities in our lives. And so my aim and my prayer for this morning is that I would be able to persuade you, hopefully, that what we need most in 2014, in the midst of our busyness, is true rest. It's true rest. And how do we find true rest, especially in this day and age where being busy is almost a badge of honor of sorts, right? And in this passage, we'll see a couple things. First, we need to understand where rest does not come from. It doesn't come from what you do. And secondly, we need to understand where true rest does come from. It's something that we receive. And lastly, we will try to apply this and see how this truth, these truths make a difference, hopefully, in your lives and hopefully in your upcoming year. Now, the first point, true rest doesn't come from what you do. And as we dive into this passage, some things to kind of consider. Jesus and his disciples were on a journey, presumably to Jerusalem, and they stopped by a little town called Bethany, where Martha and Mary welcomed them into their home. Now, it's important to understand there's a lot of cultural stuff going on here if we really kind of look a little closely. And there are a lot of cultural taboos that are being kind of broken like all over the place if we take a closer look. First, hospitality in this culture, in this day and age, was very customary. It was expected culturally to offer your place to stay, room and board, especially for weary travelers. It was the expectation for people to be good hosts, and this responsibility probably fell on the women during this time. And Martha, knowing this, is busy preparing and, perhaps not a whole lot of heads up, a warning. In addition, it's not just Jesus, but also perhaps his disciples are with them. And so, not to mention the fact that the guest is none other than Jesus, right? And I'm sure they've heard of Jesus, they know of Jesus, they welcome him into their home. And so I'm sure Martha is feeling a little bit of pressure to meet the cultural expectations of the time. And I'm sure maybe some of you during this Christmas season, as you're hosting family and friends and things like that, you got a taste of that where you're just constantly busy trying to get things ready. So if you can imagine for Martha, there's a lot on her shoulders. But we need to add another layer to the tension. There's another woman present, and her name is Mary, her sister, and she's doing the exact opposite of what's expected in many ways. She's supposed to be helping her sister, older sister, perhaps in the kitchen. Instead, she's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him as if she were her disciple. Now, back in this culture, only men were really allowed to be disciples of rabbis. And by sitting at Jesus' feet, it's the proper posture of a disciple. And so basically, she's like one of the guys, if you will. And despite this cultural kind of snafu, in a sense, Jesus doesn't appear to have a problem with it. Now, all of this was a bit too much for Martha, which is quite understandable if you think about it, if you put yourself in her shoes. She has a guest of honor in her home, and she's frustrated with all the things that she needs to get done. And she blurts out to Jesus, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Now, just in that statement and that outburst, our worldview, in many respects, is revealed. Let's keep in mind this is probably a shame, honor kind of society, perhaps very close to home to many of our cultures, where one's face or one's reputation is kind of on the line. And the way to save face or to find a sense of rest or a sense of peace is through her service and her work. That's what will redeem the situation if she can up it and deliver. Now, don't get me wrong, service and work are good things in itself. There's nothing wrong with a job well done.
But if it becomes the very thing that you derive your sense of self, a way to perhaps justify and prove yourself that you're worthy, then work and service becomes more about yourself rather than other people, right? And unfortunately for many, that's what service to the Lord especially has become. Because sometimes within churches there are cultural expectations of what it means to be spiritual or what it means to be a leader. And it's easy to play into that and try to live up to it, right? But there's a subtle danger, of course, if you're not rooted and grounded, and you know, we'll explain what that might look like in the next point, then our service and our works are oftentimes how we becomes the basis of our own self-evaluation, right? If we live up to that ideal, whatever that ideal is, you feel good about yourself. If you don't live up to that ideal, you feel badly about yourself. And there's a double whammy, of course, in a sense, as we kind of look at this. The people around you oftentimes becomes the point of comparison. I wonder if you took Mary out of the equation, out of the story, right? If Martha would have responded in the way that she did, right? It's hypothetical, but I would imagine if it would have changed the dynamic altogether. Because other people oftentimes become the gauge by which you size people up and down, right? Either they become the standard bearer or you become the standard bearer. Just as she saw her sister, you know, she seems, in Martha's case, she became the standard bearer, right? She saw her sister sitting around, seemingly doing nothing, right? And while she was doing everything. And clearly from Martha's standpoint, she was on the right side of things. Mary was not, right? But there's a deeper issue. Notice that Martha didn't complain to Mary, but who? To Jesus, right? Martha didn't pull Mary aside and say, "Mary, you know, could really use the help, right? Don't you see that I'm swamped in here?" But Martha took this to Jesus, right? And in some ways, her complaint has much to do with Jesus allowing for all this stuff to happen, to allow this cultural, you know, taboo to continue rather than right the perceived wrong. You know, she did say to Jesus, "Don't you care?" Right? Now, in my frenetic moments in ministry and in life, it's very easy to see other people around you and their maybe their perceived laziness or, you know, calmness and wonder out loud to God, "Don't you care? God, you know, get people to help me," right? Because when we try to find our rest or our refuge in what we do, we never find that rest, right? It's never enough. We always feel like we're never good enough, and we'll always be resentful to others and God who get in the way of this, right? Now, as we think about it, and as we kind of think about our own situations, how about you? What do you find rest in what you try to do? And as you think about the people around you, are the people around you kind of what? Again, the people in whom you kind of gauge yourself as far as, is that my standard bearer or another person's standard bearer? And it's very easy for us to fall into that trap by evaluating ourselves, by evaluating others in the process. But here's where Jesus kind of flips it, and this leads to the second point, that rest doesn't come from what you do, but rest comes from what you receive. Because Jesus, again, he gently turns us upside down. And there's nothing gentle about being turned upside down, but Jesus finds a way. Here's his response. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Jesus has, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, Martha is trying to find her rest in many ways by fulfilling the cultural expectations of the day. If I'm a great host, then I'll be accepted by him. If I do the above and the beyond what's expected, then I will be approved. But if I don't, then I'm nothing. If other people get in the way, then I'm resentful. But Jesus is trying to show Martha that's not how she's going to be accepted or approved. And it's not going to be through her service, although there's nothing wrong with service. Rather, Jesus is saying those good things she's doing has become something bigger than it was meant to be. Fulfilling those cultural obligations became larger than life to the point it was causing her worry and anxiety. Fulfilling those obligations became her way of validating her sense of personhood and worth. And since her face and reputation was on the line, it was causing her to crack. Jesus was gently exposing the cracks of her worldview. She's not going to find the rest she's looking for by what she does. It's not going to be, but rather it's going to be through what she receives. And there's only one thing that is necessary in life, and that's sitting at the feet of Jesus, receiving from him. To be where Mary was also required her, I assume, a radical step, right? It would mean breaking out of the cultural mold and expectations of her and intentionally sit at Jesus' feet. I can't imagine this being an instinctive step whatsoever in such a heavy patriarchal, male-dominated society. And here's the thing, Jesus welcomes her and accepts her presence before doing a single thing. Jesus didn't send her out of the room saying, "You don't belong here," or "Don't you have something you need to do, Mary?" or "Come back after you've done your duty." Now, I don't know if you identify or not, but some of you, in thinking as you approach Jesus, you'll get inundated by a bunch of shoulds, oughts, told you so's, right? Instead, Jesus welcomes you into his presence and offers you a meal that's more satisfying than any host can offer. Jesus offers his life-giving word that truly nourishes, sustains, and satisfies. Our true rest from our restlessness comes from Jesus and him alone. Our work will never be enough, but his work will always be. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished," meaning his substitutionary death, where our sin was exchanged for his righteousness, is now the basis by which God sees us, that we are righteous and holy in his sight. That true rest comes from knowing that through the blood of his son, our sins are washed away. And that's where our true sense of acceptance and approval comes from, and that we're loved for eternity as a result of what he's done. It's not what we give to Jesus that will give us rest, but it's what we receive. When we receive and accept his finished work, that's what's going to give us lasting and eternal rest. You know, in this story, Jesus, you know, decides to kind of, for at least for a night or two, make his home in Bethany. It was supposed to be a refuge for him on the journey. But what's amazing is that although he technically is the traveler coming through, Jesus ends up being the host that gives true rest. Martha thought she was the host, that she was supposed to give them rest, but instead the opposite happens. She's the weary one, desperately in need of rest from her labors. Now, as we think about how this applies to you and me, the point isn't so much that you need to be more like Mary than Martha. We don't need more of Mary, but we need more of is Jesus, right? It requires each of us, especially those who are very busy, those who give a lot to this church, to consistently choose the better thing, to sit at the feet of Jesus, to be his disciple who learns and hears and who's strengthened by being in his presence. One commentator says this: if we come not to give but to receive, it means we surrender our lives to God's fullness. It means the focus of the event is not us, but the object of our longing. It's about God. We come for more of him, that we might see his glory, celebrate his character, proclaim his victory, and heal in his love. When we receive from him first, it gives us a new energy, a new motive, a new resolve, hopefully to serve. We cannot give what we do not receive first. We cannot really love if we don't know love firsthand. We cannot serve like Jesus if we've not experienced his service. Now, perhaps some of you are thinking, okay, I get the whole rest thing, all right? But the reality is things need to get done, right? If everybody sits around and rests, then what about these real world needs that are all around us? Who's going to do that if everybody's kind of sitting at Jesus' feet? You know, I think that's a very valid concern. You know, as we think about, it's a fair question to ask, but I don't think Jesus is trying to pit rest and work against each other. In fact, in later narratives, we do find Martha in the exact same role again. She's serving and preparing a meal. But interestingly, in this instance, we don't see any evidence of fretting. And at a later point, she also learns that to receive from Jesus, but it doesn't mean that she's not serving. Matt Perlman made an observation, which I think is very helpful as we think about this story, that it was no mistake that the writer Luke places this account right before, right after the parable of the Good Samaritan. He comments that the parable of the Good Samaritan tells us that how we're to be like Christians, that we're to show mercy to others when any opportunities arise before us, that indeed we're supposed to seek opportunities to do good and to serve. This is what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. But he also says that we could also misapply that passage by allowing true service to transform into mere busyness, as we see with Martha. Yes, we are to be radical in doing good, just like the Good Samaritan. But don't take this to mean that we're to be scrambling around frantically, overcommitting yourself and becoming overbusy. We ought to sacrifice and endure hardship, yes. But don't let your service to others distract you from the ultimate reason for your service, which is Jesus himself. Again, true rest does not come from what you do, but from what we receive. But as we have freely received, we freely give as well. In this new year, my hope